And now, a great moment in furniture history. One summer in the early 90s, the Bob behind Bob's Discount Furniture did something that would send shockwaves throughout the furniture business. He eliminated haggling and ended the unfair and insidious practice of artificially jacking up prices only to throw a phony sale. What remains unanswered is why he would end such a lucrative scheme.
It was the right thing to do.
It was the right thing to do. This has been another great moment in furniture history. Watch Furniture History unfold at mybobs.com.
Come on, let's work, let's go. Come on, let's work, let's go. Come on, let's work, let's go. Come on.
You can wish for it, or you can work for it.
You gotta work for greatness.
If you ain't working, you should be working.
Come on, let's work.
These are the confessions of a workaholic. Workaholic.
Welcome to Confessions of a Workaholic, where we share the success secrets of fearless female entrepreneurs who are obsessed with success. This is your girl, Corielle. So excited to have you back for another week to get up close and personal with another boss. This episode is brought to you by the Work Squad, which is my new support group, the only support group that you need when you are dedicated to your dream. Our private accountability community is the perfect place for you to connect, exchange ideas, learn new tricks, barter your skills, and get the keys you need to crush your goals. Members have access to an online support group, free trainings, weekly goal setting calls, and so much more. To find out how you can join the squad for just $10 a month, log on to workprayslay.com. If you are enjoying the podcast, be sure to subscribe, leave a review, and check out the show notes for important links. All right, so today we are talking to the serial fashionpreneur and workaholic, Tracy Evans. Tracy is the up-and-coming Jackie Joyner Kersee of the fashion world. Just as Jackie excelled in multiple track and field events, Tracy is a fashionista triple threat. She's a boutique owner, stylist, and designer. She owns Meow and Barks Boutique, which is the trendy, fashion-forward hotspot with storefront locations in the eclectic San Marco area of Jacksonville, Florida, and the popular Buckhead area of ATL. Shout it. Her styling services have been seen on Lala Anthony, Marlo Hampton, Cardi B, K. Michelle, Emily B., Evelyn Lozada, and many, many more. So, Tracy, are you ready to confess?
Yes, I am.
So, I always like to start by asking what you started your career doing, because I find it so interesting how sometimes our passions lead us away from our profession. So, what did you actually start out doing?
I started out in banking. I started, of course, in school in communications. And then took a part-time job in banking and was working there while I was pursuing school. And then fashion just kept calling my name. So I took some textile classes and here I am, pursuing my dreams. But it wasn't that simple. It did take some hard work and some training of myself to get to where I'm at now.
So what were the opinions of other people when you wanted to step away from banking? Because, you know, many of the conversations that I have, it's like other people have more doubts and fears, you know, than we typically have in ourselves. And sometimes that can slow us down or stop us. So what were the reactions like from the people closest to you, or did you have to deal with any doubts or fears from other people?
I did. It came from like my mom, like the one that I needed the most, did not believe that I could actually make this happen. But she didn't come to me direct. She sent my sister to me. I was in banking for 13 years, but within that 13-year period, I had a tailoring shop that I actually ran after work. So it was like I made my career and my dreams my part-time job. So why everybody was going to pursue, a second job or even just, you know, honing their home skills, I went to my dream. So when I decided to make the decision to go full time and leave my banking job of 13 years to make this happen, that was a big thing. I also had a newborn son. He was, I think Takari was like maybe at two years old when I decided to make this happen. So it was a big thing for my family. My family has always believed in, like, you get the education, you get the job, and you work in your field. If you are a woman in my family. Now, on the other end, if you're a male, then you get the entrepreneur opportunities, which my brothers them had. My mom and dad have a construction company. So I grew around entrepreneurs like my whole life, watching them. All of my brothers have entrepreneur dreams that they pursued and were entrepreneurs, never had a job. So I just couldn't understand why I couldn't go after my dream the way that they pursued theirs.
So what is the reaction like? And I always think it's so funny how, like, family dynamics really play a role in, like, our life decisions, like how other people see us or what makes other people comfortable. But what do people say now? Like, I definitely dealt with the same thing when I first started entrepreneurship, and my mom still to this day thinks, you know, like I'm playing around on my computer. Well, now she's starting to see, like, you know, okay, now she's really talking about something. But what does your mom say now that you, you know, have something to show for it and it's not just like a figment of your imagination?
It's a totally different ball game now. I think she's still in during the beginning when I was really making moves that I thought that she would just latch on and support me. Like, yeah, you got this. Like you were saying, your mom thought you were still playing. My mom was the same way. But now she's like a number one fan. And that means so much to me more than anything that I've ever accomplished was just like winning my mom over. Now, sisters and cousins and different, that's a different story there, but there's nothing like the support of your mom, you know. But during that period, I just created a better spiritual relationship with God and also with myself. Cause like when you don't have the support of your mom, and your mom is doubting you, like, that's not a good place to be. Like, that's where my security is. I'm such a family-oriented girl. Like, I need the support of my family. So this entrepreneur journey has been such a great one because it has improved my spiritual relationship with God and also my relationship with myself. You know, I've eliminated self-talk, negative self-talk. I'm really you know, in on that. I watch the way that I talk to myself. I watch the way that I treat myself, because this journey can take you out of the game. And it's like, when you're out of the game, who's going to put you back in? And so it's only yourself that can do that. And of course, God, that can keep you on that path.
So, so true. And that's why there is the pray and work, pray, slay, because I think so often entrepreneurs and business coaches, like, we try to teach the blueprint of business, but we don't ever talk to, like, the spiritual journey, the emotional journey, like the mindset of it. And if you don't have a relationship with God before you start your entrepreneurial journey, you definitely going to have one all said and done, because you are going to be beat up and knocked down to the point where you're going to have to strengthen a relationship with your source. However you want to verbalize that source, you know, definitely going to push you to your limits and help you to strengthen that relationship, which of course is, you know, an asset at the end of it, but it doesn't feel so good when you're going through it. So what would you say, since you can say that fashion has always been kind of pulling at you, what was like your first side hustle, your first fashion related side hustle that you had before you transitioned into like a full-fledged business?
My first side hustle was I would refurbish jeans. So I would have people bring their jeans to me. I would cut them and shred them. You know, back then, this was like 15 years ago. I was doing this out of my mom's house. And I would also allow for them to bring their jeans. I would tie-dye the jeans. And it's so crazy how fashion returns and those things are back now. But that was my side hustle. So it's just like I did that. And then it got to the point where, like, on Saturdays, my mom's living room was packed. So it's just like, okay, at this point, you need a storefront. So I did. I went into, you know, within my community and was able to find like an affordable place where I could lease And I started from there, but I still had my full-time job that was able to pay for everything at that point to keep me afloat and to keep me going when things were slow or when I just didn't put in the work in the business to take care of the overhead there. So I think, that side hustle is what can you do now? What talent do you have that only takes like your talent? I didn't have to purchase anything but rubber bands, fabric dye, and razor blades, you know? So it's just about taking your talent and your dreams and stripping them down and figuring out, like, if I ever get down on my luck and I don't have any money to buy any type of, you know, stock or inventory, I'll always be able to go back there and still offer that service so I can come up.
So what was the day that you decided, okay, I have, was it when you replaced your banking income with your store income? Like what made you decide to put all of your faith in yourself and basically let go of that security blanket, which was your full-time job? What was that?
Right. Of course, that transition was not what I planned. I planned to, you know, leave one day. So it's just like one day became another day and it became another year. And it just became, you know, me doing the side hustle plus the full-time job. And I think what happened was I was just not at a good place mentally. I had beat myself up. Like I was so down to the point where it was just like, if I didn't leave now, like if I ever get it together, like what would be left of me to complete the mission? Like that's just how bad that I was frustrated with my banking job. Like I had, because mind you, I had to come down a level in order to have hours so I could pursue my dreams on the side. So my hours at the bank were like 4 a.m. to like 12 p.m. And I couldn't level up to another level in management because I wanted to keep those hours. So it's just like I had topped out there. I was frustrated. I was even to the point like every day was like ponytails, my hair pulled back, you know, and I'm just going to work and I'm just living out here. Not liking like the person that I was at that point. I felt like I had let myself down. So actually what worked for me was I took the money out of my 401k and was like, hey, I'm out. You know, and at that point, I was on something different then. I have since replaced my 401k. But at that point, I was on some, this just how bad it had gotten at my job. I was on some, well, I don't even know if I'm going to live to be 65. So I'm saving this money to, you know, for when I get 65, I need to take this money now and make something happen now. So I took my nest egg that I had for retirement. And just went out here and pursued my dreams and made it happen. And that transition is never, or for me, it wasn't a good transition. It was rough. But now that I look back, like, it looks like it was so smooth. I never stopped and everything just worked out. I was able to build my faith. And, you know, that grows as God continues to show up. And things that you pray for, he answers, like you get a little cockiness about you with your spiritual relationship with him. Because that spiritual relationship grows too. It grows to another level. Like, you know, I remember times when I would pray and nothing would happen. And then I would pray and then it would be right there. And then now I'm at the point where like he's dragging me along. Like there are so many opportunities and doors that he's opening for me. And to be honest, in some instances, I'm not ready, you know, but I remember a time when I was ready, just waiting, you know? So I just think sometimes we just have to be real with ourselves and say, hey, it's going to be uncomfortable. And it's probably going to be uncomfortable for maybe, it just depends. Everyone is different. For me, it was probably uncomfortable for about a year. where I wasn't able to do things, or I was afraid to spend because I didn't know how things would go. But once you get a year in being an entrepreneur, and then you're able to gauge, like I can tell you what a January looks like for me on bars. I can tell you what an April looks like. I can tell you what an August looks like. So it's just like charting your growth is so important in entrepreneurship because that keeps you going. And even charting your growth with God, like, you know, like how are things going there? Is he showing up? What, you know, what you have going on? Is he answering prayers? What is he doing there? So I just think that, that transition is, I think you would probably have to be set in order for that transition to be a smooth one, because for me, it wasn't easy at all.
So there's so many, you know, Instagram memes going around talking about, you know, like your 9-to-5 is slavery. You need to buy your freedom. You need to quit, which I am all for entrepreneurship, obviously.
Right.
However, I think that kind of puts a false, it's a false reality if you think that you're just going to walk away from your 9-to-5 and it's just going to be smooth sailing. And I think one of the biggest things for me in my transition to full-time entrepreneurship was not being able to live like I had a job,
right.
Like not being able to still live like I had that same income. What is your best advice, like during that first year? Because that first year I think is definitely the hardest. Mm. For someone who's thinking about taking that leap of faith, or maybe they even like, you know, they say you need 6 months worth of living expenses or whatever. Maybe they feel like they're ready to take that leap and they've done that. We all know that first year is still not going to be easy, but what's your best advice, or what was something you wish somebody would have told you that could have helped you prepare for that first year of entrepreneurship?
I think that first year was... It was so hard because there were some people that I thought was going to show up that didn't show up. So financially, I was okay because I did have a nest egg. But in order for me to grow my business, there were some friends that didn't show up and support like I thought they would. And there was just some people that me making that leap made them feel uncomfortable with where they were. In their journey and following their dreams. So it was just like once I announced that, hey, now I'm full time at the boutique, because some of my clients are now our friends and we've shared stories. I know your family. I know what's going on at home. I know what's going on at work. So I would probably say just like when you talk about being uncomfortable that first year with not being able to spend and buy, but also having uncomfortable relationships with some people that you loved and, you know, you thought they would depend on you, because I wasn't ready emotionally. Like financially, I was there, but emotionally, like some people didn't come and shop like they used to shop, and some people just disappeared on me. And that was fine because I understood, but I wasn't ready. So I would say, like, because we know that it's going to be hard and you're not going to be able to spend like you used to spend, but just getting the support of like clients or friends or people not wanting to do business with you, it kind of hurts a little bit. And those things kind of knocked me off. But one thing I did learn within that transition period, and I often tell the young ladies that intern with me, mentees, and even my employees, that we must learn how to multitask our emotions. We can no longer have bad days. You can only have bad moments. You know, so in the beginning, you know, I would have a bad day, like, oh, you know, someone didn't do this or didn't show up. It would knock me off, you know, and then I would say to myself, oh, tomorrow we're going to start and, you know, we're going to make this happen and tomorrow's going to be a good day. Well, it got to the point where I had to coach myself and be like, hey, that was that moment. Now let's go ahead and create a new moment within this day right here and change this and make this happen and keep pushing. So I think emotionally, just be prepared and just know that, you know, when your emotions start coming into play, you got to learn how to multitask those things, you know, and coach yourself, you know, when you get home, but never have a bad day. Try to make those bad days just bad moments.
Now, listen, that's a major key alert right there. That is worth gold, because so often, you know, something will upset us at 6 a.m. and at 6 p.m., we're still feeling the effect of whatever, you know, woke us up mad. So definitely learning how, I love that, multitask your emotions, especially as women. Yeah, definitely got to do that. So I love that you mentioned the relationships aspect of it, because I think that's one thing that people never really talk about. Like, we talk about, you know, the people who made it to the top with us, or you get to see those people, but you don't ever really hear about or see the people who, you know, did us wrong or fell off or weren't supportive or didn't follow through. So I'm glad that you mentioned that, because that definitely is, I think, pretty common. Like, that's something that just happens. Right. And I think if we don't talk about it, when it happens to you, you can start feeling like it's your fault, or, you know, taking it personal or getting down on yourself, but not realizing that this is just a part of the journey. And, you know, everybody can't go. Everybody's not ready to level up with you. Everybody's not comfortable, you know, with your success and your growth and your evolution. So you have to know that it's not you and you can't take it personal. But relationships are so critical to our careers and to our business. What has been most beneficial for you and your business? Would you say it's been mentorship or partnership?
I would probably say partnership, because I need some help out here. Like, I'm out here, I'm trying to figure things out. So with me, I was able, first investment that I made into my business, I was like, oh, what am I not good at? Like, where do I need help at? So it's just like on the marketing end, like opening those doors and making some things happen. I seeked and hired a marketing manager, which I've been with him for about 7 years. So he's able to kind of make some things happen for me and create partnerships and different things. So things that, you know, that I'm not privy to, and it could be in the field, it could be lack of education within that field. I just do believe in partnering with someone who is better than you or can pick up where you're not strong at. I didn't have a mentor, but I have mentees. So I'm still, you know, I'm out here trying to teach what I know. And I tell them all the time, hey, I'm just trying to shave some years off. I'm just trying to help you shave some years off, kind of let you know what happened to me. And I can guarantee you it's going to happen to you. You know, so if I can get you to start where I'm at, then we're good, you know, because that would make my pain not in vain if you don't have to go through it, you know. So if I can go through it for us, you know, if you can just listen to me, you know, I can shave some years off and get you where you need to be. So partnerships are still big for me, and I'm still trying to work with others and create those so we can, you know, partner and I can help people out where they're weak, and they can help me as well.
So for someone listening who, I think relationships are really, really nurtured as an intern, and internships teach you the value of relationships. But for people who have not, you know, been able to do an internship, or they weren't taught by their parents like the value of people and relationships and all of those things, right, what is the biggest advice for creating and nurturing relationships? Because you don't want to be fake and phony out here trying to be friends with everybody, but you do understand the importance of relationships, but you may not have them. So what's your best advice for like establishing those relationships that could potentially be partnerships?
I would probably say just lend your time to someone that is worthy to you. Getting under someone, putting that time in is so valuable. You know, reaching out. I tell my girls all the time, if there's somewhere where you want to be, go, you know, and offer your time. Because sometimes we as entrepreneurs or business owners, we don't mind giving back. We just want to make sure that we're giving back to the right person. And if you're passionate about where you want to be, we can feel that. We know, because we've been there and we've seen it before, you know, and we know when, you know, when we've been at a level and we were not at 100%. So I would say seek that opportunity and definitely get under someone, try to be a part of their organization and what they have going on, just to get the talent raw, you know, and they will let you know if it works for them. Because I one thing I say, like, is being an entrepreneur, like, the wisdom that God gives you is not for you to, you know, add a problem up fast. You know, it's for you to be able to have wisdom to see through people and to see different situations, and so you'll know how to react. Like, there's certain things that come across my way, I already know what's going to happen. You know, so that's the wisdom that we pray for, or at least I pray for with God. Like, give me wisdom to see things, help me save my time. And it also helps with identifying the character of a person. So if you seek an internship with someone and they pass you up, find someone else. But definitely get under someone and give them your time, because the knowledge that you get from them, you will pay for it, you know. So it's a great exchange.
Okay, so transitioning a little bit into, like, the ins and the outs just of your business, because I watch Shark Tank. It's like my obsession. And one thing that I hear over and over is retail. It's a monster. Like, it's crazy. And I know that doing retail in, like, big box retailers is different from, you know, owning your own brick and mortar storefront. But both of those are totally different beasts than online business. So
it is.
There's an online boutique owner listening who is interested in opening up a storefront. I don't know this, but I'm assuming. What is something that she needs to know before she gets started with brick and mortar? And what are some things that you wish someone would have told you before you invested in a storefront?
Okay. I would probably say what I'm going through right now. In Jacksonville, we have a full store. And then in Atlanta, we have a showroom. So I would suggest for anyone that's transitioning from online, transition to a showroom. Now, what the title showroom gives you is that you're in a smaller space and you're able to showcase your items. Our showroom in Atlanta, our customers come in, they see the merchandise if they're interested. I do have a dressing room there. They're able to try those things on. And then, you know, they proceed to purchase, or they can order online and they can pick up immediately in the showroom. Now, the store in Jacksonville, we have customers come in, and because it's a bigger space, they're shopping. So we may have a customer that comes in for like an hour, meaning I have to have an associate there that's able to entertain them and take care of them for an hour span. Now, if you're used to online, and I love our online store and I love our online customers, because they know what they want. They shop and I don't have to help them. You know, they figure everything out, you know, and I just get a notification. So if you're coming from not having to help your customers outside of a few questions as far as sizing, you definitely want to go into a showroom situation where the customer and the speed and the fashion is fast, you know, versus a boutique with a bigger storefront. You have to kind of coat your customer and provide that whole experience, which I enjoy it. You know, I enjoy it. Nothing wrong there. I love all of my customers in Jacksonville. I love all of my customers in store, online, showroom, the whole thing. But I think a great thing for an online entrepreneur is to create a showroom and pursue it that way. Showroom, back end, warehouse, and just make it happen.
Great, great advice. And that seems like a easier transition than just, you know, going big. So one other thing I know within, like, fashion, and not even just fashion, like, whatever industry you're in, the majority of us feel like the big payoff is, like, having celebrity clients. But I don't want to just know, like, how cool it is to, like, work with Cardi B. What I want to talk about is how you, as the service provider or the business owner or the professional or the expert, how you must interact with them. Because someone listening, I'm sure, has interests in working with celebrities, whether it's, you know, a hairstylist, a nail tech, a personal shopper, an artist, whatever, who wants to work with a celebrity client. But they are not always the easiest person, people to work with. So what's something that you had to learn the hard way just about the experience of working with them, or how you have to prepare when you're taking on a celebrity client?
I think the main thing is being yourself. Like, whenever you're yourself, that's your best protection. That's your best security. So if you're yourself, If you go in and someone, you know, mistreats you, you know, like, hey, this is me. I was myself. I handled the situation the best way I was able to handle it. And you just keep it moving. The cool thing about the situation with Cardi B, I get a text message from Claire with Fashion Bomb Daily. She's like, oh, Cardi B, they're in Atlanta and they're looking for a place to shop. Are you available? I was at the showroom. They came up. She was cool as a fan. Like who she was on social media was who I got, you know, and I was me and we just made it happen. So I think working with celebrities, the best thing is just to be yourself, because once again, they have been there. So they're able to detect the fake, the phoniness and all of that stuff. And then on your end, if you're being fake and phony, you cannot detect if someone is being fake and phony with you. So your protection out here with dealing with anyone, even in business, it's just to be yourself so you can be on guard and see what's going on. And I mean, and sometimes, you know, we put on airs because socially, you know, we network and we do different things, but it's just the best thing is just to remain true to yourself. You know, and either they're like it, you know, I love you, or not want to continue to work. And then you just, you know, you just move on. But, you know, with celebrities, they're in and out, you know, they need a look if you have the look, and, you know, it's different levels. So you just want to, you know, not take anything to heart and just produce what you're able to produce.
So aside from celebrities, another thing that's grown pretty popular is influencer marketing, working with influencers to, you know, market and promote your business. Have you found influencer marketing to be beneficial for you? And what would be your biggest advice for those entrepreneurs who are interested with working with influencers to promote their product?
Oh, my goodness. We just did this summer did a collection, a collaboration with Jay Kendall, Lipstick and Curls. One of the best marketing campaigns we've ever had. Influencers work. We've done some placement with Dana Bolden, Claire Somers, different celebrities, even Niecy Nash. She wasn't an influencer that we sought out for. She actually just purchased some things online. But when you have the right people with the right influence wearing your clothing, it can impact your business and definitely take it to another level. So it doesn't hurt, you know, and I can tell you just from having a storefront, I paid for radio advertisement, you know, thousands of dollars a month. You know, you're going to pay for the advertisement. So whether it's you offering your services at no charge, or if you're bartering, things of that nature, like it pays off if you have the right people in your clothing. And we're seeing that each and every day on social media. You know, it's so funny. Every now and then I'll run up on a post where someone says IG or Instagram is not real. And I'm like, oh, it's real. It's really real. You know, people out here are changing their lifestyles for their family. You know, they're better entrepreneurs. There's $1 million. It's just so much going on right now for the good of with social media. So definitely influencers work. And I would suggest for everyone to at least try it out. And when I say try it out, I don't mean one time. You know, we've heard all of our lives, third time is charm. That's because it's true. You need to at least do something three times so you can even go back and chart your growth and see what happened the first time, what you did the second time, and how you did the third time. So definitely try it out, I would suggest.
Tracy, I have truly enjoyed this conversation, and I know that my ladies appreciate all these gems that you have been dropping. Please let them know where they can find you online and how they can connect with you on social media.
Yes, definitely, ladies. You can shop online at meowandbarksboutique.com, and we're also at Meow and Barks Boutique on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. So definitely check us out. We have really beautiful clothing. We cater to that Black American woman. Like if you wore baby fat back in the day, you should wear Meow and Barks Boutique now. So it just has a great flair. We do resort wear. We do club wear. We do casual day-to-day wear, but definitely different pieces. And we're just known for not having what the market has. And that's just because I just go out and source and try to create different relationships. And like you were talking about, partnerships, where I'm able to get things that other stores don't have. So we're always known like, oh, if you get something from there, that it will not be everywhere. So we kind of got like the exclusive touch and feel. But definitely check us out online. And I truly enjoyed this conversation with you as well. I need to get from behind the business more and get out and just share my thoughts and just share my story with other women and just let them know that it is so possible. You just have to put in the work and not give up, and you can make it happen.
This has been another game-changing episode of Confessions of a Workaholic, meant to empower and encourage you to get that ass to work. You already have everything you need to get everything you want if you are willing to do the work. Thank you for tuning in. See you next week.
Varicose and spider veins. Wow, what a gift from my mom. She had them, I got them, and not only are they uncomfortable and sometimes painful, but I stopped wearing skirts and shorts because I was embarrassed and I really hated the way my legs looked. When my kids asked me, "What are those things on your legs?" I was done. I finally went to Vein Clinics of America. The procedure took about an hour and I was right back to work. What they're doing with lasers these days is unbelievable. The staff made me feel so comfortable and the results, well, even my husband has noticed. Vein Clinics of America has been treating vein disease for over 35 years. They're the largest and most experienced in the U.S. Look, I've been doing the commercials for Vein Clinics for years because I really believe in them, and you can trust them too. The best part, my insurance covered the procedure, so stop hiding your legs. Call Vein Clinics right now to see if you qualify for a free consultation. Call 800-885-9090. 800-885-9090. That's 800-885-9090.
Once upon a morning, there was a freshly brewed McCafe coffee. It was made with 100% Arabica beans, yet something was missing. Fear not, in the distance, a sausage McMuffin with egg rides toward the sunrise in quest for breakfast. The perfect pair met at McDonald's, and mornings were happy forever after. Right now, get a $1 small coffee and a $2 sausage McMuffin with egg from the $1, $2, $3 menu. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.